For our scripture reading this morning from Luke chapter 19, it tells a story that most of us are familiar with, but sometimes we don't catch the rest of the story. Join with us in the scripture reading. As we read, you follow along in your copy of the scriptures and notice carefully the words and think about the songs that we've sung, the songs that we've heard. Everything has been preparing us for looking at this passage of Scripture and thinking about the significance of this day. Some of you have heard messages on this passage. Several of you have requested a couple that I've done in the past for this day. And we're going to share from parts of those from this very crucial passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 19, and beginning at verse 28. You follow along as I read. And after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and there, as you enter, you will find a colt on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.' When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the day of your visitation.'" God's word for today, for every triumphal entry Sunday, or Palm Sunday as it's often called, a significant time for remembering what happened in Jerusalem on that day. I'm going to try to share with you a very important portion of this passage. It's very crucial for us to understand and to see. It's what I like to call a message about if only. What a difference a day can make. The more I've studied this passage over the years, the more I've realized that the day of the triumphal entry is one of the most significant times in all of history. The most significant time in all of history is Resurrection Sunday. But let's not forget the preparation that was done on this day of the triumphal entry. And I know that because Jesus said it. On the day of the triumphal entry, he said, "Had you known this day." Now think a minute, how many times have you made the statement, "If only I had known"? Or maybe you have said, "If only I'd listened to what Dad said." And there have been times that we have been caught because we hadn't listened. We've been caught because we didn't really understand or catch the significance of some event or something that happened. I'd submit to you that Palm Sunday is important because all four Gospels describe it. All four of the Gospel writings tell us about the day of the triumphal entry. Each one giving us a little different perspective, as the gospel writers did, but all of them showing us the significance of this time. There are not many events that took place in the New Testament that all four gospels cover, but this is one of the ones that all of them cover. And the most important part is that statement that Jesus made and repeated, "If only you had known in this day." If only you had recognized, not just knowing it's on the calendar, not just knowing the date, you know, you can know that next Wednesday is April Fool's Day. But do you know the significance of why it's called that? Do you know the significance of that? We don't have time to go into that here. But think about things that we may know the facts, but do we really understand? Do we comprehend the significance? The significance of this day of the triumphal entry. Well, we're going to focus on Luke 19 if you want to sort of pitch your spiritual camp there for a few minutes. And let's notice some of the things that we find in this great passage. We find that unique statement that Jesus makes. And I didn't really catch the full significance of it or fully appreciate it until the day that Judy and I stood on the Mount of Olives at approximately the place where they think Jesus would have come across and headed across the Kidron Valley. And I thought about the statement that as he looked over Jerusalem, he wept. Only one other time in the Scripture does it say that he wept, and that was at the graveside of Lazarus. And here on the day of the triumphal entry, as he looked over the holy city, and he said, "If only you had recognized this day the things that make for peace." Standing at about where I'm standing when I made this picture back in 2008, you can see the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount in that area. You can even see the wall of Jerusalem. And you realize, and just to prove it, there's Judy and me there. I had one of the people take a picture of us. Don't you think she's aged beautifully? I don't look a day old. No, not. But seriously, standing there in that place and looking across to where Jesus looked, in the words that we find in this chapter, you can see the Temple Mount, where there will be a temple built yet in the future, the eastern gate through which Jesus will enter when he returns, the Kidron Valley. He would have had to gone down across the Kidron Valley. A lot of those houses would not have been there, and some of those things that look like rocks or tombstones where people think they want to be, because that would be the place where they could meet Messiah when he comes through the eastern gate. There is a little closer view of it. In the Temple Mount, the Kidron Valley, and the Eastern Gate. We now get an official presentation. This day, the triumphal entry, when Jesus sent those disciples back to get a donkey, a colt of a donkey, never ridden on before. And by the way, if you look in some of the older Sunday school material, you will find pictures of this, and they depict Jesus riding on the colt of a donkey, and it is way up in the sky. It looks like he would have had to have a stepladder to get up there. It's unbiblical. The pictures that are accurate will show his feet dragging the ground. It wasn't a rather royal kind of processional. It wasn't like you would expect a normal king. This was the Son of God, the servant of God, who came to give his life as a ransom. It was an unprecedented kind of procession. The multitude is coming along, and it is a procession of Jesus in great humility as he's making his way on this donkey into the city. And there's a majestic response from all the people as they read from the Hallel. Now, you're not Jewish, most of you, so you don't know what the Hallel is, perhaps. It's the Psalms collected in Psalm 111 through 117. The Hosanna. The words that you find quoted here in verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Quoting from that section of the Hallel. Because that multitude, honestly, was expecting Jesus to set up his kingdom. They thought he was going to start his reign and his rule. They didn't recognize what this day was really all about. The problem is, this is where most sermons end. The problem is, when we tell the story of the triumphal entry, this is where we end. But we need to see the rest of the story. And just look at the responses. I almost have to laugh on a couple of the responses as you're watching what happens. Remember the Pharisees? The Pharisees come up. These were the religious leaders of the day. And they come up and they say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're going to get us in trouble." That's a slight paraphrase. But that statement, "rebuke your disciples," is a long one. Now, I don't like to use this phrase, but honestly, it would be like saying, "Jesus, tell these disciples to shut up." The word "rebuke" here is a very strong word that the religious leaders... You see, this was interfering with their whole enterprise. This was going to interfere with their income. If this guy really is Messiah and sets up our kingdom, it's going to be something totally different. We may not have any place to sit. "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And don't you love Jesus' answer? His answer is so beautiful, and I don't think they even caught it. Jesus said, "If they don't say anything, the stones will cry out." Do you catch what Jesus is saying? Pharisees, if my disciples don't cry out, the rocks know more than you do. What a rebuke to them. Because they didn't understand the Scriptures. They didn't obey the Scriptures. They had set up all of their little traditions and all the things that they had. The stones will cry out. And doesn't the Scripture say that? The heavens are declaring the glory of God. Every part of God's creation. Did you stop and pause a little bit as you came in this morning thanking God for Bradford pears? And all those trees and the blossoms that are on them right now reminding us of life. It's spring of the year at the time of resurrection and the dogwoods are just about ready to bloom. Maybe that's why it turned cold. It's dogwood winter. But the beauty of God's creation picture, even the creation proclaims the glory of God. Psalm 19. Read it and notice all of the descriptions of God's Word sometime. You'll be amazed. And it helps us understand, even the rocks will cry out. And then Jesus makes this unique proclamation as He approaches the city. "If you had known in this day, if only you had recognized this day, the things that make for peace." He wept over the city. And He made His way on into the city. And makes this proclamation. "If you had only recognized this day." Now it's interesting to take note of the fact that this was on the 10th of Nisan. According to Bible scholars, in A.D. 33. It was the day that Jesus came into the city, the day of the triumphal entry, 4 days before the Passover feast. And the important thing to note is the day the Passover lamb was being cut off from the rest of the flock and set aside to be the sacrifice for the Passover. Remember what the writer to Hebrews tells us? Jesus Christ gave His life as the Passover lamb, a once for all sacrifice, set apart on the 10th of Nisan, that's on the Jewish calendar, clocked by the archaeologists and Bible scholars as A.D. 33. Now, some of them may vary the date a little bit, but most agree that it was the 10th of Nisan, because that would have been the day that the Passover lamb was cut off. Now, you have to put that together with something very, very crucial and very important. That 10th of Nisan was an important date in relation to Daniel's 70 weeks. Remember the great prophecy that Daniel was given? After a time of very lengthy prayer, The Lord told him that at a certain beginning of time, the time that was being calculated from the day that the proclamation was given to rebuild the city after the Babylonian exile, a date that we know now was in 444 B.C., there would be a period of 7 weeks and 62 weeks, or a total of 69 weeks of years, and then Messiah would be cut off. And many scholars don't even understand what that's all about, but let's notice carefully some important statistics and put it together. If you take that as being the weeks of years, as the prophecy seems to describe, that's 69 weeks of years. Multiply that by 7. You probably have your iPhone. Go to the calculator. Calculate it out. 483 years. And based on the Jewish year and the Jewish calendar, that comes out to be 173,880 days. From the time that Cyrus introduces the decree to rebuild the city until Messiah is cut off will be that number of days. Interesting thing to note is, as you look at this, from March 444 B.C. to the 10th of Nisan A.D. 33, doing it with a calculation with a Jewish calendar, you'll find it comes out to be exactly 173,880 days. And Jesus said, if only you had recognized this day. It's almost as though he's saying, God told you about this day in Daniel way before the events ever took place. Daniel was given that word over 450 years before any of it took place. It was foretold by God. If only you had known. If only you had recognized this day, for the things that make for peace. If you want to do a scholarly piece of research, you can get this book. It's now available even on Kindle. It's such a classic, and it's a great book written by Sir Robert Anderson. Sir Robert Anderson is a very fascinating individual. He was a member of the London police force. He also was known as a great Bible teacher in his day. And this man did a calculation way back in the end of the 18th century, or the 1800s, and he wrote a book called The Coming Prince, in which he pulled together all of these facts from the calendars and the information that he had available. The interesting thing is that a man by the name of Harold Honer, who was our Greek teacher at Dallas Theological Seminary, he's now gone home to be with the Lord. Dr. Honer, as a part of his doctorate, working at Cambridge in England, wrote a book called The Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ. He went back to do his research and pull together all of the calendars to date all of the various Herods that are mentioned in the Scripture. That's what his dissertation was on. The dissertation's about that thick. A very scholarly work. When it was finished, one of the professors, who is not a believer, but one of the professors said of Dr. Honer's work, his work is impeccable. I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the professor went on, but the work that Dr. Honer has done here is deserving of our attention. It is accurate and to the point. This book is also still available. It's in a reprint now, but it is available and available on some of the e-books, and it's worth having because it dates just the chronological aspects of the life of Christ and ties everything back in to Daniel. But you've also got to realize it ties in with Exodus. Remember the Passover? When did Jesus institute our remembrance of His person and His work? It goes back to the 10th day of the month when they are to take to them every man a lamb, take care of them until the 14th day of the month when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. The Passover lambs that were a part of the Old Testament economy. On the 10th of the month, they shall take them apart. And it's interesting that that month, Nisan, is the month in which the Passover originated, way back in Exodus. And so, when did Jesus come in and present Himself as the Lamb of God? The day of the triumphal entry, which was on the 10th of Nisan. And the Scripture describes it as the day that the lambs were cut off from the flocks and set aside. And Jesus was presented as the once for all to be offered for sin Passover lamb. At the conclusion of John's description of this, John writes these very powerful words. These things, that is the description of the triumphal entry and the things surrounding it, these things His disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of Him. They remembered Daniel 9. They remembered the events of the triumphal entry. And that they had done these things to Him. He was the one who was crucified. He died and was buried. And God raised Him from the dead to show that He was satisfied with the sacrifice that was made. Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus said, if only you had recognized this day, the things that make for peace, the provision for the forgiveness of sin in the Lamb of God, of being declared righteous, of knowing that a place is being prepared for us, a place for all of eternity. The things that make for peace. The fulfillment of God's plan, of God's purpose, for His glory, by His power. If only you had known this day. I don't know why He did it. I can't really explain all the things that took place and why He would do that for me. I can't understand why He would do it for you. I cannot tell why He is the King of all of the world and of all of the universe would stoop down to become a servant, to become obedient even to death on a cross. I know what the Scripture tells me. He did it because He loved us. And what a great love in making a provision for us, a provision that we couldn't do ourselves, a thing that we cannot buy, we cannot work or confess or do anything enough to accomplish the peace that He provides. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be delivered, saved, released from the penalty, the power, and ultimately from the presence of sin. It's been all accomplished by the once for all Lamb of God that was given for us. If only we recognize that day. Father, thank You for Your Word and for these moments to share together and to see the story that You have inspired and recorded for us and have preserved, to let us know about why You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place. To provide for us what we couldn't provide for ourselves. To provide for us forgiveness. Prepare for us a place with You for all of eternity. Hallelujah, what a wonderful day. And to think that it was on this day that He entered into the city on the back of a donkey, presenting Himself as the authentic Son of God, the only one qualified to pay the price. And we thank You for next Sunday when we can rejoice in the fact that You raised Him from the dead, demonstrating that You accepted His payment in full. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Lord. We love You. We praise You and we thank You as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.